Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, I mean, we have talked more recently than, let's say, Marco Rossi and the Wild, but it does still feel like it's been a while since we chatted, Marty. How are you? Welcome back.
It has been a while, but yes, I'm doing great. The last time we talked, we were in about as opposite direction in the
Continental US. I've reeled you in. I've inched
a little closer. I'm back in my studio at home, but you're still out, which is a good thing. And I missed yesterday because I was at the Brooks TLC golf tournament. So this is the hospital systems of the Northern Chautauqua County, Dunkirk, Fredonia. And what an amazing event, number one, Duffer. Rob Ray and I went out there representing the Sabres alumni and the Sabres, and Andre Reed and Joe DeLemler were there for representing the Bills. And I have never really met Andre Reed. Like, I maybe have shaken his hand one time, like, hey, how are you doing?
Really?
Crossing over. And so we were there early, like about 9:30 in the morning. The event technically didn't start until 10:30, and when we still had plenty. I got to talk to him about where he lives in San Diego, golf, football.
That's
amazing.
Where I am.
I know. So exactly, that's where you are. But like, I really enjoyed, like, I know Thurman Thomas a lot more because I've seen Thurman around a lot. Next Monday I'm at the Jim Kelly golf tournament. I've got to meet Jim and you know, talk to him a little bit, whatnot, but never with Andre. And I was so impressed with Andre Reed. And number one, he's in an unbelievable shape, right? He is about as thin and strong looking. Great golfer, but now just talking about football and even training camp now. And he was talking about when they used to go to training camp in Fredonia down the street from Dunkirk. And it was such a fun event of great people there. It was amazing. But the time I got to spend with Andre Reed was really cool.
Which hole were you on yesterday?
So we were at the, let me see. I want to make sure I give you the right name of the golf course. It's let me just go back. It was the Shorewood Country Club. So that's right on the lake,
yeah.
Right on Lake Erie.
I think our co-host yesterday, Chris Baker, was referring to it and having just played it recently too. So.
Okay. So perfect. So I was on hole number 15. So I was at a par three. And basically, I would tell the group, "Hey, if you have an extra ball in the golf cart, I will hit it. And then you pick it up if it's not good. And if it's good, you're going to use it for your putts or whatever." It was 195-yard par three. And it was probably playing more like 210, 215. So whenever there was a group of ladies that would come in and then they had a shot from 130, I was pretty happy. I would go and join them in the four tees from 130 and play it from there. But it was hot. A good friend, Mike Gilbert, that used to work with the Sabres as the PR guy, he was there. And so let's just say, Duffer, my hole, there was a little bit of a backup. Because we're talking, I'm signing autographs, taking pictures, there's that, the other thing. It's 195-yard par three. Like, it's not going to be played fast. Most people are off the green, chipping on the green. Uh-huh. And, you know, so Gibby is like two or three groups behind, sitting like in his cart in the shade. And all of a sudden I hear, "Marty, stop talking. Let's go." And people are looking back at him like, "Who is this guy that's chirping Marty Pirano over there?" Not knowing. So I'm chirping him back. It was a great event. Now, I was on hole 15. Rob Ray was on hole 6, not far from us. Rob Ray station was the Jello shot station. They had Jello shots for all the people, and you know, Razor doesn't drink, but he
would consume Jello. So did they have the NA version?
The NA version of the Jello shots would be good. But he put about 8 Jello shots in a little Ziploc bag, and he sent them over my ways. I'm like, "Are you going to give me a ride home? Like, is that why you're doing this?" So. Anyway, I had one margarita Jello shot, and I can attest that that would have been a dangerous station to be at wanted to do jello shots.
So did you use a different club throughout the day?
Yes. So I started with a 4-iron, went over the green, my second shot, and I was like, okay, everybody's telling me, land it short, let it roll on. But the big thing is somehow it was really wet. So if you landed it short, it died short before the green. So I went from 4-iron to, then I went to a 5. I don't like my 5 all that much. I wasn't hitting it well. So then I went to a 6. I kept getting like landing short and it wasn't rolling on. So I went back to my 4 and took some off a little bit. I probably had 2 shots that were between like 5 and 10 feet from the pin. I had about a dozen that were in the middle of the green. So that was not too bad out of 30 some shots.
It's such a funny game, right? Like for whatever reason, you don't like your 5-iron, which is, I get it. Things have changed over time, but it was built as one of the most favorable clubs as a starting golfer, right? Like you're learning, just use the 5-iron, right?
Well, you had a 3, 5, 7, 9. Exactly. Like on your original set, you didn't have the odd numbers. You had the odd numbers, and the 3 was hard to hit. So the 5 was the one that you could, okay, I'll just use my safe club, the 5-iron.
Exactly, the safe club. And I'm envisioning it perfectly, how you're hitting the 6 sweet every time, and it keeps coming up short, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. But then for you to revert back to the 4 is hilarious to me. And of course, you know what club I would use in those conditions. I'd probably be, if I was feeling really strong, it would be a 3-wood. But if I was defeating myself like I do on a regular basis, I would have been using driver unapologetically.
No, like, but tee it up a little bit so it goes up in the air and lands soft, right? But no, and so there was some really good golfers that came through and had some really nice shots. So yes, there was a ton of
There was no wind, I would have been doing 5-wood. It's my favorite club, so.
You may have done the 5-wood with a little downwind. There was a little downwind that was pushing it, but it didn't really make the hole shorter. So anyway, it was awesome. There was a VIP event before that. Mm-hmm. Got to meet some great people there. A lot of their physicians from that, you know, the Brooks TLC, like hospital group, were there. I met, you know, an oncologist. I met, a pain management doctor, physician. There was really some good people. I met a back guy. It was great. Like they had some of their physicians on the course. So if anybody needed something, and Tim Graham from The Athletic was also on my hole. And one hole that he wasn't hitting balls. He was just hanging out, telling stories or whatnot. We're talking about Bill's camp. And one guy goes, Tim, go ahead, hit a shot. And Tim goes, I haven't hit a shot in 10 years. He goes, go ahead, hit a shot. He hit a shot. He goes, oh, my neck cracked like in about 15 different places. And we're like, we have physicians on the course. Let's bring him on. He's like, I'm good. He goes, it felt like I just went to the chiropractor. So I got to, Tim Graham and I, like he covered the Sabres back when I played. So we were telling stories about, the 99, playoffs, the cup run. You know, when they snuck me into the Air Canada Center at the time because everybody wanted to know if Dom was going to play or not for game 1 and 2 mm-hmm. of the conference finals. So we had a good time with the fans there, and it was definitely really good. And so that was yesterday, Duffer. But when I last talked to you on Friday, I was in Northampton, Massachusetts because my one daughter had a horse show, and it was the day before my son Jacob's 21st birthday, and he was driving up to Northampton. And I want to say it was an eventful 24 hours with Jacob celebrating his 21st birthday at the horse show it's rare that me and all the kids and everybody, like we are all in the same location, but we're all there, the 6 of us. And it was, you would have been proud. You would have been really proud of how we celebrated that night.
I did not know they serve. I'm assuming that's what you're insinuating. I did not know they serve at these horse shows.
Oh, not only did they serve, they have. So for those that have been around the horse show business and whatever, different breeds, different breeds have different kind of ways of entertaining, you know, the people at the shows. The Morgans is a horse breed. Mm-hmm. I feel like they do a fantastic job always having parties, always having like get together. And so Friday night, the show actually ends a little earlier so that there's an exhibitor's party, they call it. They have a band. It's under a tent. There's a catering service, food, and then they had a clam and bake, a clam chowder station, and then a lobster station, because you're in Massachusetts, you bring it in. It was unbelievable. But these are all people that remember Jacob when he was 4, 5, 6 years old. Every year we would go to this show and it was his birthday and we'd always have a big cake. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, can't believe he's 21. Wow. Let's buy him a shot. And oh so my. At the bar, and Jacob's doing a shot. Let's buy him another shot. And then everybody wanted to stay until midnight because at midnight he was officially turning 21. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, let's do more shots. Well, let's just say he was staying in the hotel with me. And yeah, so he was feeling great until we got in the car and it was time to go home. Well, then it just caught up to him.
This reminds me of a story that you told when you were really, 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 really early on. It might have been 99. And your parents were in the hotel room and you were trying to stay out with the guys?
Yeah, no, that was actually 95, 96, New Year's Eve of 95, 96, because I got called up as an 18-year-old. And then my parents came in just for the day and they couldn't find a hotel room anywhere in Buffalo. I had a room with a king-size bed at the Marriott in Williamsville. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, we'll just, I'm like, you guys, I'm going to be out all night, stay in the room, whatever. And then at the time, if people of my generation and even maybe a little older, remember the Radisson Hotel by the airport on Genesee Street had a nightclub that was called, it was Kix Nightclub, I believe it's what it was called. And we all went there. Somehow they smuggled me into the club, right? The guys, and Jason Daw and Matt Barnaby and those guys all were like, Marty, you're coming in.
Somehow.
Yeah. Somehow, right? So we were there for New Year's Eve. And then by the time I got to the hotel at 4 a.m., I had been overserved, but that's okay.
Oh, boy.
I forgot my parents were in the hotel room, right? So I was like, oh, man. But they were leaving like an hour later. They were leaving very early, so it worked out. But the same thing kind of like there with Jacob. It's like now I realize how my parents must have felt that day when I walk into the hotel room sideways. You know, look, I was 18, so drinking age in Quebec was 18, but here in Buffalo, obviously, it was 21. So, but with Jacob celebrating his 21st birthday, the car ride back to the hotel was a little tricky. He got in the hotel, everything was fine, and we got back at like 1:30, 2 a.m., and I got him a pillow and a blanket, and he slept on the good old bathroom floor for a little bit. Until he woke up. Then he woke up. He goes, I need a coffee and a breakfast sandwich. I'm like, how are you surviving? And how are you hungry right now? Like, it's impossible. And got him a coffee and a breakfast sandwich. And then we went back to the show and it was all good. It was like me having two beers the night before and feeling a little like, oh, I'm a lightweight, but still he was up and going and everything was fine.
Well, we loosely almost got to hockey there when you were referencing 95, 96 and being out with the boys. So I don't know. Should we try to go down that path a little bit here on Sabres Live?
We should probably go down the hockey path a little bit.
What did you think of the Connor Timmins pre-arbitration deal that got done?
Remember you asked me Friday, when do you think this gets done? I'm like, you're not going to go to arbitration, but it's going to get done like 48 hours before, right? Well, it was a few more days ahead of time, so they got it done over the weekend. But I that's totally good for me. So it's a 2-year deal, which I would think that you want a new player coming in that needed a contract. Like giving him a 1-year deal would have been a little like, ugh. Like let's give him a 2-year deal Oh, I hit my button. Sorry.
You made me panic. I thought it was my fault.
I know. I hit the button.
It's usually my fault.
My microphone. So 2 years is fine. I think it's a little bit under what, like, I thought 2.5 million, right? So I thought anything between 2 and 2.5 million was going to be the number. It's totally fine. It doesn't break the bank. It's probably market value for him and for the position where he'll play. A third pair guy, you know, they're $2 million players now. That's what it is. So I don't know a lot about Connor Timmins. Like, this is a player that moved a couple of times. Like, I want to see what he has to offer. Could it be a really good valued contract? Yeah, it could be. Do I really think that it moves the needle one way or the other? Not really. It's going to be about Dahlin, Byron, Power, Kesselring. That's all that it's about, your top four. But I think it's a good spot to start for Connor Timmins and the Sabres and see if there's a possibility after 2 years to continue the relationship. But that gives 2 years to figure it out.
Bakes was really excited yesterday, as he often is, but I felt like there was an extra energy. And I think part of it, for the upcoming season, obviously. And but even just hearing you talk about Timmins that way, there's been change, clearly. But there's just so much uncertainty. And uncertainty allows you to think two ways, right? Not enough. The negative default for many people, right? Yeah. Or when you look at the potential of actually finding stability, improvement, and in the form of some players, you're seeking greatness, right? I mean, you're hoping that Tage gets that much closer to 50.
Yeah.
You're hoping that Rasmus Dahlin gets even more votes for the Norris, right? Yeah. After finishing top six. These are the things that you hope for. But the unknown is still incredibly fascinating here on the 29th of July, given, you know, how's it all going to work? Backline, up front, who plays with whom? So I don't know what was that kind of vibe like for you yesterday around a lot of people that undoubtedly were asking?
Well, I think that the number one thing that it all came down to, again, was can they keep the puck out of their net? And Connor Timmins as a third pair is going to help stabilize. Look, they tried Connor Clifton the last couple of years, and I liked Clifton, and I thought he was a nice guy and everything, but it didn't really work. And he mentioned about how he lost his confidence and all of that. But, okay, I think that start fresh with Connor Timmins, and maybe that's with Matthias Samuelsson, and that's your third pair. And okay, let's a couple of bigger guys that can add that length and maybe some physicality and some defensive focus to the game, kill penalties, whatnot. But most fans were like, you know, I don't think that we need to worry about replacing the goals from JJ Paterka. It's going to be about not giving up so much and not giving up goals. And so I think a lot of everything is on the defense and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Most people were like, do you think if Luukkonen doesn't play well, Lyon can be the guy? I said, Lyon can be the guy for short term, right? But I think if you are hoping to get 40 games out of Alex Lyon, you're pushing it, right? It could be, but you're pushing it. That would not be plan A. Plan A would be Luukkonen is 52 and Lyon is 30. That's 82 games, and that's plan A. But if you have to go to plan B and then kind of rework something, but most people were, look, the question was, is this year the year? That was always the question. Is this year the year? And there's a lot of fans in that, you know, Dunkirk, Fredonia area that make the trip to Buffalo to come to games. And they're hoping that it's all about keeping the puck out of your net. And maybe they listen to the show a lot. That's because that's the drum I've been beaten, right? That keep the puck out of your net. Don't finish 30th in goals against this year. Because it doesn't matter if you're top five in goals for. If you're 30th in goals against, it's not going to work.
No. The one thing that that Chris and I were talking about yesterday that would be newer in yours and mine discussion here. The fact that with the Timmins deal done, they're basically middle of the pack now in the NHL as far as salary cap is concerned, which, you know, for some people is a fixation. Well, they gotta get up to here. They have to spend every dollar, yada, 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 right? But we know that's not true across the board in the NHL because you have teams now way, way, way lower than them and have tons of room to spend, but there's nothing to spend it on. So I'm not going to go buy a case of water for $24 when I can buy it for $3.99, right? Like 100%. You're not just going to use up the remaining cap space to say, hey, we've used up the cap space. But the reality is they have $5 million left. And Bakes and I were wondering, you know, does this still put them in a place here over the next month where they look at pursuing in a futures deal, shipping out prospects to bring in, let's say, a $5 million player?
So I wouldn't do that. And I think what the Sabres are setting themselves up is to be able to make something drastic, dramatic, whatever you want to call it, late October, early November, if the season doesn't start the way they want it to start. We talked about the Sabres have 10 of the first 14 games at home in the month of October, start to the first week of November. So you start the season 10-4 or 9-5, you're going the right direction. If you start the season 5-9 or 4-10, then all of a sudden you're like, we got to change something. And maybe that's, we got to do what Colorado did last year and bring in another goalie. Well, if you're going to go money out, money in, that kind of handcuffs you a little bit. But if you can go, okay, we don't have to go money out, money in, and we can add a prospect to be able to go get somebody. Boom, you have that flexibility. Maybe that is an injury that you're dealing with early in the season that you have to replace, and you have the $5 million. I understand people when they say, well, you know what, the Sabres are one of the lowest teams, like they're 28th or 30th in, you know, money spent, and you look at the cap space and all that. This is not the case this year. This is not the case at all.
Right.
And it's a year where the cap went up big time. And they are only $5 million under the cap right now.
Right.
You're looking at teams. What is it?
What's that?
I thought you said something.
No, I was agreeing with you in the sense that, and if you just want to look at the group that they're with, I mean, like, just go to Puckpedia and see that, you know, they're like the same as Ottawa, which puts them middle of the pack, and they're within $1.5 million either way of a lot of teams. And
Colorado, Vancouver, Toronto, like, and again, they're right there.
It's always going to be different for every team and for vastly different reasons. For some, like the Panthers, it's ultimate success, but there's also teams that spend right up to the top that haven't had the success. So, and then they've got the, like, it's just, I'm just really curious now, you know, whether they see an opportunity to acquire somebody that has a salary. You know me, I tend to scoff a little at insider suggestions and rumors like, oh, watch, all the stars are going to sign short-term deals. Like, yeah, okay. Tell me about the Mitch Marner deal again. Like, honestly, like,
we never see, like, sign and trade. Well, we saw it a couple of times this summer.
Noah
Keandre
Dobson,
Miller was one of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at, so there was that suggestion in early July, summer of trades. Like, come on. I'm literally speaking out of both sides of my mouth here. Like, I started this because the Sabres still have $5 million in cap space. And, like, who wouldn't want a trade to talk about for the entirety of the month of August?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I'm also realistic, and I've been around at this so long, it's like, not going to be the summer of trades. Give me a break. Well,
there's again, nothing, like, what if start the season and Luukkonen's not going well, and you need to do something, okay? You want Levi to send Rochester. Lyon is going to be your, you know, but you need to do something. You have $5 million in cap space. You could go get a $5 million goalie, and he can start tomorrow night if you wanted to, and you don't have to worry about it because you have that flexibility. But if you had $1 million in cap space because you went and signed somebody for $4 million or whatever, now all of a sudden, you can't go get $1 million goalie because that's not going to fix the problem. So you got to say, okay, we have to take a team that's willing to take Luukkonen or somebody else to be able to flip dollars in, dollars out. Right now, if you wanted to get it done and a team's like, we don't want a goalie in return, that's fine. We have the space. We can take that. If it's a forward, same thing. Hey, defensively, we're good, but we're not scoring. And our power play is not there. And we have to make a move late October, early November. Okay, well, we call a team, and the team's like, yeah, well, we already have too many forwards. We don't want to take a player in return. Mm-hmm. We'll take a couple of picks, and we'll trade you that player. Oh, okay, that's fine, because we have the cap flexibility. Like, and I'm not saying they have $12 million in cap space and $18 million in cap space. That's not the case. $5 million. That just gives you the flexibility early in the season to be able to do something without having to say, how's that going to work with the cap, money in, money out? No, it's there. You have some wiggle room to be able to get it done.
Well, you get wiggle room when you get into the 10-game flex plans that are available now, because obviously it's your choice, and you can choose from 10 home games this season and get the home opener included in your plan at no additional cost. So get the savings off single game pricing, playoff priority, and more. Sabres.com/flex, like Marty was doing on the links yesterday. Yeah. Choose your games there. Sabres.com/flex. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Maybe team of the day coming up.